The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
And hello there. How's it going? Heath Klein in for Chuck Oliver today here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Don't you worry, though. We'll still be talking extensive college football through the next 2 hours, keeping you company as we all look forward to the best sport the world has going coming up this fall. And look, we're not there yet, obviously. We've still got plenty of time before we get to media days and before we get to camps and everything else, but there's always news. And whether or not betting on college football is your thing or not, when Vegas weighs in on the college football season for the first time, it's always kind of interesting. You don't have to be a gambler. I know some of you are not gamblers. That's fine. But it's always interesting to find out what Vegas thinks of the upcoming season. And the South Point Casino in Vegas, over the course of the last few days, just came out with their lines for the game of the year in college football that they see when they look at the schedule. And there are a few trends in particular that stand out when you look at them, a few that jump out at you. They have about 150 games they put out lines for. It appears, and it's just something I'm picking up on, it appears Vegas believes that Alabama is pretty good at intercollegiate tackle football. They seem to have noticed this. The Tide are favored by double digits in every game that the South Point put out. They put out half a dozen games. It doesn't matter, home, away, wherever, Bama is favored by double digits in all of them. And the one that particularly stands out is Texas A&M. If there's one team that's kind of talked a little bit in the offseason here about the idea, hey, you know, we might be closing in on Bama a little bit. Jimbo Fisher put himself out there a little bit, and Saban kind of pushed back. And all of that, with a good season last year, building, 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 with all of that, playing at home in College Station, right now, Aggies are a 10-point dog. And that's the closest anybody gets to Alabama, according to Vegas. 10 points underdog at home. At Florida, Bama's favored by 11. At Auburn, they're favored by 12. Against Ole Miss, they're favored by 22, which is kind of wild when you think about what it looked like last year offensively in that game, how many points the Rebels put up. It doesn't matter if you think they can win. To assume that Alabama's going to be more than three touchdowns better than them definitely tells you how good Vegas thinks Bama is, or more importantly, how good they think the public believes that Bama is. But I mean, think about this. This is after losing half a dozen first-round picks that included a Heisman winner at wide receiver, that included a first-round pick quarterback. Oh yeah, the guy who was actually running the offense, he left too. It just doesn't matter. Sure, double digits, man. Bama is just going to smoke everybody. How uninspiring is Clemson's schedule? That's another thing that stands out after you look at Vegas and what they did here. In the opener against Georgia in Charlotte, great game in week one, Clemson's favored by 3.5 points. But the reality is, if Clemson loses that game, it's like a free roll, basically. Because the rest of the way, things are so quiet on their schedule that while putting out the games of the year, the only other game Vegas even bothered to put a line on right now is Louisville. And they're favored by 3 touchdowns on the road in that game. That's how uninspired the schedule is of Clemson. Clemson's a terrific program, excellent team, but it's just so hard to evaluate this program right now. It's not their fault. The ACC just doesn't have anybody who rises to that level. And until an FSU or a Miami or somebody gets there consistently to be a top 10 kind of team, or if South Carolina could get their act together, but right now they're nowhere near that either, all these teams that could give us an idea who Clemson really is, we're going to get a look in week one, and we might not get another real look until the playoffs. Another thing that stands out from Vegas, looking at this upcoming season, LSU. This is the national champion, just one season past. Now, we all know about last year. Last year was kind of a train wreck. 5-5, and it didn't go well at all. But at the end of the year, they knocked off Florida in Gainesville. They certainly look like they've got at least one, maybe more than one quarterback. They've got two new coordinators. There's a lot of reasons why you could talk yourself into the idea LSU could be pretty good this year. And yet, at least in the desert, they are not getting any benefit of the doubt. And that's when we know they've got talent. They're favored by just 2 in the opener against UCLA. Now, that is in UCLA's place. But still, have you seen a UCLA football crowd at the Rose Bowl? There will probably be as many Tiger fans there, if not more. That thing's going to feel like a neutral site game. And they're only favored over UCLA by 2. Look at the difference in the recruiting talent at LSU and UCLA. Look at just the outcome of UCLA's games. UCLA's within 2 of LSU? Really? Boy, that feels kind of weird. And it's not just them. They're favored by just 2 over Auburn. That's Auburn with a lot of changes going on right now. Favored by just 2 over Auburn. They're in a pick'em game with Florida. They're in a pick'em game in Oxford with Ole Miss. So if you see Bama get maximum respect, doesn't matter who you're losing personnel-wise, coaches, players, nothing will stop this train. LSU's the opposite. LSU is loaded with talent still. And certainly looks like they've got a quarterback. It's not like, oh, well, but do we know if they can run an offense? They can run an offense. And yet they get no benefit of the doubt at all. If I was in Vegas, and maybe by August I'll get there, I'd be pretty tempted to see about putting a little money down on some of those games. And maybe more than that. I don't understand why Vegas is this quiet about LSU, other than I think that that's the Ed Orgeron effect. I think there's people who are still looking at 2019 and saying, oh, okay, Joe Burrow made magic happen, but we can't trust that dude. And he doesn't get that benefit of the doubt at all. Because on talent and personnel, they should be getting a lot more than they are. And then one other thing that really stood out, some of the games that are always on this list. I always love when this thing comes out. It's a South Point Casino list. They're not the only ones who do it, but they're typically the first. The other thing I always look for is that there are certain games that are going to be there, and you just can tell from year to year how things are going with rivalries. Tennessee-Bama is always there. Tennessee-Georgia, almost always there. Tennessee-Florida, typically there. South Carolina-Clemson's normally there. South Carolina-Georgia is normally there. Nope, not this year. And it's not just, oh, well, they don't want to put anybody with a first-year coach on the list. It's not, oh, well, those teams aren't expected to be good. That's not it. There are some other teams with similar records that are not expected to be great this year. They're still on the list. What that's telling you is that those two particular programs right now are really hard to get a handle on. I mean, I think we have a decent idea that South Carolina, what they can be. They could be about a 500 team. I don't think anybody thinks they're going to be some sort of secret weapon. But Shane Beamer's never been a head coach before. His coordinators are not necessarily people that you know well. And I think there's just a lot of folks who say, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from them the first few weeks. They got a quarterback that's only played 2 games. I don't know. Josh Heupel, we know more about what he is, but Tennessee has lost so many players. We don't know who their quarterback is. Heck, they're taking in more guys like Joe Milton. And I just think Vegas this year on those two teams just said, you know what, we're just as baffled as you are. When we've got to put a line out on a game the week of the game, we'll do it. But we're not giving the Sharks a few months in advance to try and get rich on us on these particular teams this year. I'm confident, even if those teams don't have great seasons this year, next year they'll be on this list when it comes out. But for this year, Vegas said, nah, 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 we don't need any mystery guests at the party. Thank you very much. Again, the whole list is out. It's pretty fun if you're into college football at all. See what games you find from the South Point that maybe get your attention. But those were a few things that stood out to me. Hey, the other shoe has dropped in one of the stranger stories to come out of spring football. Why one position coach move will be more scrutinized than usual. That's coming up next here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Well, we've had a lot of injuries there. Kind of hard to you know, feel good about depth when just don't have many numbers out there.
That would be the voice of Lane Kiffin, head coach of Ole Miss. And when Ole Miss made the move that they did, they fired their offensive line coach, Randy Clements. It was a few days after spring football. It was one of those deals where he just said, that feels odd. You know, we're used to a routine where after the season, if you're letting a coach go, maybe you just cut him loose altogether. Maybe you tell a coach, hey, you know what? It might be a great idea for you to find a gig somewhere else. And it's just kind of understood for a week or two that the coach is looking around, and then if he gets a gig, then you say, hey, great, it makes perfect sense that you're leaving a SEC job to go down to a job at UTEP or something like that. We're happy for him and know it's a great opportunity. And then if it doesn't work out, okay, you move on. Then there's also the pros. The pros come along and scoop some guys off. Typically, guys will wait past signing day and then you'll see that period of time. But we're not used to coaches getting let go after spring football. That just doesn't happen. And so when it did, it raised some eyebrows, and people kind of waited. And part of it, too, is it's Lane Kiffin. And so there's still that suspicion of, is there something more going on? Is Lane doing Lane Kiffin things? Or is this just a straight-up football move? And it seems like it is. It seems like, just for whatever reason, he decided that this was a move he wanted to make. It's a really interesting choice that he made, and now we know what he is replacing Randy Clements with. Jake Thornton is going to be named as the offensive line coach. He is a guy that is reportedly well-regarded. He's only 28 years old. He was an all-conference player twice at Western Carolina, then was a grad assistant at Alabama, not the same time as Kiffin, but was a grad assistant at Alabama. And then this most recent year, he was the O-line coach and run game coordinator at Gardner-Webb. The year before that, he was the O-line coach for Tennessee Tech. So he's a 28-year-old. He's coming into the SEC for his first job in FBS as an actual bona fide coach. Now, I'm not about to pretend for a second I have any idea what Gardner-Webb's offensive line looked like this past year at Tennessee Tech either. Maybe the dude will be an amazing hire for Lane Kiffin. But this is a really interesting choice because it took about a month to make it, so it wasn't like, okay, I'm pushing Randy Clements aside because I've got this great coach already lined up and ready to go. There seems to have been a process of looking for a coach to find, and it was more, I want this guy out than specifically, I'm going to get this guy. Like, if you remember, different sport, but if you're a Cubs fan, the Cubs, once upon a time, fired their manager, Rick Renteria, because Joe Maddon was available. And they weren't necessarily looking to fire him, but they said, oh, if we can get that guy, then we want him. And we'll say, Rick, it's been real, it's been good, but it hasn't been real good, so you got to move on. That's not what happened here either, it appears. They went out and did a search. So Kiffin has made a really interesting choice here. You got rid of a veteran coach who seemed to have done a pretty good job based on the results on the field last year. If you look at the list of problems people talked about with Ole Miss, it was almost all on the other side of the ball. The running numbers appeared to be pretty good. He's also a coach who works hand-in-hand with Jeff Lebby, your offensive coordinator. By all accounts, those two guys are really well-connected and tight together. That's one of the things you always wonder about. It was one of the problems Will Muschamp had when he was down at Florida, was he had a situation where his offensive coordinator and his line coach weren't working well together. And that became one of the things that helped hamstring Muschamp's chances of success in his middle years at Florida. But that's not what's going on here either. So, look, maybe this guy will turn out to be terrific. But if it doesn't work out, the fact that you waited until after spring ball, which is so unusual, Lane Kiffin's going to have to answer for that, because you would have to think he would have a much better chance of succeeding if he had had a chance to work with his guys during spring football, size them up on the field and learn how to work with them, learn how to teach and so forth, you'd think you just have a much better chance of succeeding if you got that time in than starting completely fresh with these guys in the fall. And beyond that, just you've introduced something now into the mix that didn't have to be there. You went through spring and planned one way, and now you're changing it. If it works, hey, great. Nobody will even think about it because position coach changes normally aren't that big a deal. But given the fact that the expectations are really high for that Ole Miss offense, if the line play is not right, I think fans and the media are going to have a lot of questions about why was this done the way that it was, and we'll see how Lane chooses to address that if that time rolls around. It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Heath Klein sitting in for Chuck Oliver for the next few days. Again, Chuck enjoying a little bit of time away. Dan Matthews, always a part of things here on the program, and he joins us now here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Dan, what's happening?
Oh, not much, Heath. Welcome aboard. It's always great to have you on board with us and get to talk a little bit of college football with you. And let's stay in the SEC West here for a second, because those of you who had not heard the news earlier today, former LSU quarterback TJ Finley announcing he was going to head to Alabama. No, he is not going to head to Alabama. Penn State. No. Houston. No. He's going to Auburn now. And I think that's pretty significant, because when you look at the quarterback situations at any of these schools, I think the first thing that is interesting to me is this now shows me that Brian Harsin is not going to have that much trouble recruiting in the Southeast, at least as much people thought. Now, could people say that this is more of Mike Bobo maybe able to get out there, or anybody else on his staff, namely Derek Mason, who has ties here in the area? I don't know who his primary or his secondary were. It doesn't matter. But the fact is that there is already trust in Brian Harsin, at least from reputation, what he's done offensively, but also, too, enough trust here in the area that a guy like TJ Finley, it cannot be understated, Heath, of him choosing Auburn to go play for, because he very easily could have said, hey, you know what, I'm going to go to Alabama. I'm going to wait my time for a couple of years for Bryce Young to be able to move on, if indeed Bryce Young is who everybody believes that he is, and also in that time have an opportunity to win a national title. I think he looks at the situation at Auburn and says, I trust the coach/coaching of not only Harsin but also Bobo. I also look at a situation with Bo Nix, with a lot of people pointing to his potential and some of the things that he's done, but really overall the inconsistencies of the position. Do you want to say that that's Gus Malzahn and the previous offensive staff? Okay, fine. We'll give you a mulligan for that one. But there is probably at least a belief with TJ Finley of saying, hey, I left a situation at LSU because there was seemingly no way after that pick six that I threw against Texas A&M, I was getting back on the field. But at least if nothing else now, with the immediate eligibility, I can get there and if nothing else, scare Bo Nix for these final maybe year, maybe two of his career on the Plains, and who knows, maybe even inch his way onto the field. At least a better position to do it at Auburn than he would have been at LSU. But it cannot be understated how huge of a coup this is for Brian Harsin and his staff to pull off today.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's going to be one of the things we all have to get a lot more used to. I mean, once upon a time, the idea that you would transfer as someone who has started games at quarterback for one team in a division to another team in the same division to try and go against your former team, that would seem extraordinarily unlikely. But now we're at a point where that's just the way it's going to be. And in the case of Finley, I do think maybe some people are getting a little carried away with just how good he can be. I mean, look, we all saw the physical ability there, and clearly he has something to offer. But I also think you have to look at some of the struggles that he had, too. I think he's a long way from being ready to be an SEC starting quarterback for a team that's doing big things. So, look, it's a nice pickup. I'm with you. It's a nice pickup. I think if you're a Georgia fan, by the way, you like the fact that they made that pickup. Remember, Mike Bobo has a very close relationship with Gunnar Stockton. Stockton is currently committed to Georgia, but if Georgia's season played out in a certain way, if a guy like a Vandergriff has established himself as a sure thing to be the next quarterback and Stockton had any reason to think about looking around, Bobo would still answer that phone. Now that you've got Finley in place as that guy that's next, might be a little harder for them to sway him. Coming up, we are going to talk some South Carolina football. Shane Beamer, the head coach of the Gamecocks, is going to join us. Keep it right here. You're listening to the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is the Chuck Oliver Show. Heath Klein in for Chuck for a few days and joined right now by the man who is the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. He is Shane Beamer with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. And he's a man who yesterday got to go out and see a little history. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Heath, and hope you're doing well.
Well, I'm doing all right, but I was watching on TV. You, on the other hand, you had the good spot. Now, were you one of those people like kneecapping people to get right by the green there at 18 to watch Phil Mickelson yesterday?
No, I wish I could say I was. I took the easy way out. My wife and I, we woke up really, really early on Sunday morning, drove down there. I was on the course before 10 a.m. We spent about 6 hours, a little over 6 hours there on the course, walked around, saw every player, every one that we could see, and we actually snuck out of there probably about when Mickelson was on the, I don't know, fourth hole or so. We snuck out of there, raced back to Columbia, and got back to see the last three holes on television. So it would be a cool story to say that I was with him on 18 and I was part of that mob, but unfortunately I was sitting in front of the TV like a lot of us were watching the end of it. But it was great to be down there and say that I was able to be there on that Sunday in person for over 6 hours.
Yeah, it certainly is a cool thing to be able to say you were there because it was a limited crowd. It's also one of the perks that comes with being a coach at South Carolina, and that's one of the things I want to get into with you. You haven't had a chance to show yourself in front of kids yet at all. That's coming up. You haven't had a lot of opportunities yet to really be the public face of the program the way that maybe you would have had it been a normal time when you came in December. You're going out, you're doing the Booster Club tours now. What's it feel like to kind of get to do that public part of the role a little bit more?
Yeah, it's exciting, and you're right. Everything's been, social media, trying to be visible and active on that. So talking about South Carolina football, I've done a handful of Zoom calls with donors and different groups around Columbia and the state of South Carolina and around the Southeast, and that's been fun. But to be able to get out and actually get around our fans and represent South Carolina football, I'm fired up to do and excited to get it started tomorrow. I'll be in Florence, South Carolina tomorrow at lunch. I'll be in Myrtle Beach tomorrow night for dinner. I'll be in Greenville, South Carolina on Wednesday. And then we've got a bunch more planned in July as well to continue to get out. But you know as well as anyone how passionate and loyal and awesome the fan base here is at South Carolina. And to be able to get out and share with them and spend time with them, I'm excited to do. And hopefully the start of many, many more as we go forward.
And next week, of course, the dead period ends. So how big a relief is it for you to finally just be able to get out and do things, recruiting face-to-face? And where do you even start when you have this unusual set of circumstances you've been working with for half a year?
Yeah, it's wild. I mean, it's I was coaching at the University of Oklahoma in January of 2020, and that was the last time that anyone, any school, had prospects on campus, or we as coaches were out visiting with prospects in person. And that was, seems like so long ago before we even knew what COVID was. So I'm so fired up to be able to get back to normal. June 1st is when things open up. We've got a young man, a top prospect here in South Carolina, that's an underclassman that has already reached out to us to say that early in the morning on June 1st around 7 a.m. he's planning on being here. And as soon as I get off the phone with you, I've got a staff meeting at the top of the hour where we're going to discuss, you know, what next week looks like and who's coming. And our plan right now is from June 1st until June, I think it's June 27th, whatever that Sunday is, when things go dead again for July, you know, we expect and want to have prospects on our campus every single day. And that'll be fantastic to be able to get to know people in person, spend time with them, but then for them to be able to see all the amazing things here at the University of South Carolina from an academic standpoint, from a facility standpoint, and more importantly, from a people standpoint.
South Carolina head coach Shane Beamer with us here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Heath Klein in for Chuck. You mentioned meetings after spring football. You said you're going to have a bunch of meetings with your players. What were your takeaways from how that all went?
It was awesome. Met with all of our guys as player, all of our individual players when I got hired back in December. So I took 2 days in December, 3 days in January, and met with every single player on the team, and then did it again at the end of spring practice. Our spring game was on that Sunday, and Monday morning at 7 a.m., Luke Doty, our quarterback, was in my office and started those meetings and knocked them out all that week. And just the listening to those guys talk, how they felt like things were different, no disrespect to anyone that was here before, but to hear the players say that this was the closest, most connected team they had ever been on was awesome. To have guys sit in my office and tell me that they were going to go home for 2 or 3 days, but then they were coming right back to Columbia because they were having so much fun and just loved being in this building and being around the players on this team and the coaching staff and the rest of the people in the building. That was awesome to hear. Now, I'm not naive. We haven't had any adversity. We haven't lost a game yet. Everything is good right now, but just to see the vibe and the see and feel the vibe in the building and then to hear our players convey that back to me was awesome. You know, you anticipated guys maybe coming in here and thinking that maybe this isn't the right fit for them and this new staff isn't the right fit, and they wanted to look around and had over 100 guys in my office, and not one person expressed any desire to look elsewhere for any other opportunity, and that's awesome. And again, I know there is adversity coming, but I don't think we could be in a better position right now as a just from a team standpoint than what we are, and it's something that we're continuing to work on each and every day.
That's interesting, because that's where I was going to actually go next, is that typically, no matter what program we're talking about, you see, you know, a couple of kids shake loose at the end of spring just looking for more playing time or whatever. But from what you're saying, at least right now, you don't anticipate any movement?
No, I don't. I could hang up the phone with you right now and somebody could call me 30 seconds later, but no, I do not. It's been awesome. We've had a great group. We've got a great group of guys here on this team. I absolutely am amazed by the way they work and how the desire they have to be successful and how hard they're working to be successful. Now we got to continue to push and continue to move this program forward. But no, I don't anticipate anyone leaving between now and the near future.
You mentioned Doty. What can Luke Doty do to build off of his spring?
I think just continuing to, one, footwork is big with him. That's been a point of emphasis with us that we're trying to work with him on, is just, you know, footwork in the pocket, all the fundamental things, continuing to just work from the ground up with that, his knowledge of the offense. I mean, me and along with a lot of people see him as this old guy that's been around, and he's been here for a year. He's had one football season. He just went through his very first spring practice because he didn't really get that last year. So he is still so young and has so much potential, but no one's going to work harder. No one has a better attitude and mentality to get better and learn, and it's important to him. So that's the biggest things that we're talking to him about, is just, one, knowledge of the offense, and then just continuing to just clean up everything from a fundamental standpoint.
Obviously, in your spring game, Jason Brown did some nice things and really seems to be embracing the challenge and the role of being a South Carolina quarterback. You made pretty clear in your mind right now Doty's ahead. What about a kid like Brown? What kind of things can he do with more time on campus to try and make that more of a competition?
Yeah, I'd say with all those quarterbacks, we only have four in the program, and there's Luke, there's Jason, there's Connor Jordan, and Colt Gauthier from over in Georgia, and we're excited about all four of those guys. But Jason's a guy that is a little bit older, transfer, as you know, and came in a little, he would be the first to tell you, a little overweight and out of shape, and it's been he's been working really, really hard to lose some weight and get in shape so we can utilize his athleticism. But I told all those quarterbacks, all four of them, that, yeah, we named Luke the starter after spring practice, but we're big on competition in this program. We talk about it every single day, and that competition will continue to go forward. I thought it was a good thing to name Luke as the starter because he clearly was the most consistent and the best guy during our 15 spring practices, but he needs to have that mentality going into the summer. But we want all those guys to continue to work and continue to push him and put themselves in position. And Jason's a guy that he got better each and every spring, or each and every spring practice, and capped it off with a great day in our spring game where he got in there in a live setting in front of probably more fans than he's ever played in front of, and made a lot of plays, and that was exciting to see, and we're excited about Colton and Connor and how they continue to progress as well, and their futures also.
Last couple minutes with South Carolina head coach Shane Beamer here on the Chuck Oliver Show. Coach, you had some kids that made it in, like Brown, that were transfers. You've got more that are coming in for the fall. With freshmen coming in, but especially the transfers, how realistic is it for them to get up to speed quick enough to possibly contribute and help you here right away?
I think it's realistic. I think the rules are better and for us from that standpoint in regards to our access with the players during the summer. I mean, I can remember times in coaching where you had literally no contact with the players at all in the summertime, and then now we're allowed to do a little bit more with them during the summertime, whether it be meetings, walkthroughs, being able to watch them work out, things like that as well. So we'll have opportunities. Obviously, there's no substitute for practice and things like that, but we'll have some opportunities. They are arriving here this week and next week. Our players are returning, and then our new guys that will be arriving. So it'll be great to get those guys here in Columbia some for the first time. And we've got guys that we signed back in December and January that I've never met before that I'm going to meet for the first time here this week, which is crazy to say. But fired up to get them here, and then we'll jump right in and capitalize on everything that we're allowed to do and maximize everything that we're allowed to do legally from a rule standpoint over the summer. And then when we get into August, we've got, you know, a month before the first game, and we'll have lots of opportunities to get those guys ready, and pretty much with where we are from a depth standpoint, we're under the 85 allowed scholarships. So, you know, any single person that's in our program right now, we're anticipating them being able to help us this fall, and we're doing everything in our power to get them ready to help us this fall as well, because we're going to need them all.
Last thing I want to ask you, you know, obviously some of what you just talked about, like not having met somebody that you've already signed, that's weird enough, but you kind of knew you were dealing with that when you took over, even though it wouldn't have been how you would have normally thought it would be. What's been the biggest surprise of the job? Could be positive, could be negative, just the biggest surprise a half year in for you, given what you did know about things when you took over?
Good question. You know, I don't know, it's probably a good surprise, and you know, you hear about coaches taking over programs and guys that are problems on the team and things like that. And knock on wood, I mean, our guys have been fantastic. I mean, they've done nothing but work, and they've done every single thing that we've asked them to do, and that's been awesome. And you know, credit Coach Muschamp and the staff before us that brought those guys in, but we got a great group of young men here in this program. And then probably the biggest, I don't know if it's a surprise, but challenge for me in this chair is just the time management part of it, because there's so many things outside of actual X's and O's football that this chair entails. And I've, you know, saw my dad do it all those years. I worked for two first-time head coaches in Kirby Smart and Lincoln Riley, my last two jobs, and I saw them do it. But so I had a general idea, so it's not really a surprise, but it is, you know, there's just so much that comes across your desk each and every day that you don't plan on or that you do plan on that it's not necessarily football related. But having a blast and got a great group of people around me here in this building staff-wise, and a great group of young men on this team, and eager each and every day when I wake up to get over here and get to work every morning when the day starts.
Well, we appreciate it. I know you got a meeting to get to, but thanks for giving us some time here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. You guys have a great week.
There you go. That's Shane Beamer. And again, a guy that a lot of people are not familiar with. They may know the name, but they're not familiar with him as a person. But for a guy who has not been a head coach, you just heard it. He's a polished guy. He is well ahead of some people that have gotten head coaching jobs when it comes to understanding the public-facing role of the job, which is part of why it's interesting that he hasn't been in that position very much yet. And finally now here getting a chance, especially next week, once you can get on the recruiting trail, to actually take advantage of that. I just think back to a guy like a Ron Zook when he came in at Florida. Whatever anybody thought of the hire, before that, Zook had been a defensive coordinator, and suddenly he's in one of the most high-profile jobs in the sport, and then he gets to SEC Media Days, and it's just so jacked up, and just bop, 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 bop. I mean, people were trying to transcribe him. They couldn't even keep up with what the man was saying because he was just so intense, and frankly, people were comparing him to Beavis and Butthead. If you remember the old cartoon Beavis and Butthead, they were comparing him to Cornholio with the way he was talking, just the bizarreness and just the intensity of the conversation. Some guys are not good in that public face as much. Shane Beamer, we'll see how the results on the field are. And in the end, that's what matters. We all know it. But Shane Beamer, at least for the public-facing role of being a head coach, has been a perfect fit for South Carolina. And coming up, another person who knows a little bit about being a head coach. Once upon a time, looked like he was going to be an SEC head coach. It didn't work out, and maybe there's some regrets creeping in about that. We'll explain here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Oliver Show rolls on. Heath Klein in for Chuck today. And have you looked at the recruiting rankings for 2022 recently? Now, look, I am not a big believer in class rankings by themselves telling you a ton about the future. If you could sign a top five class, yes, your odds go way up of succeeding. But then after that, it starts to really break down. I honestly look at number 8 and number 28. The gap between them is not that huge, and there can be everything from factors to, you know, how many one school signing versus another, but a school that's in the teens may have a lot higher rating on the individual players than one that's ahead of them by 3 or 4 spots. You could have, you know, a lot of different factors that go into it. I just don't think you should get worked up that much about whether you're number 8 or number 13 and think that's going to change the future of your program. And getting worked up about rankings before Memorial Day, especially when coaches haven't even been on the road yet, seems particularly pointless. And, of course, on top of that, there's also the fact that with transfers now, recruiting classes might mean something completely different over the next few years, because you're going to almost have two recruiting classes, the high school kids and then the kids you're getting out of the portal, and how those get included in a recruiting class may become a real challenge for people now going forward. But having said all of that, all those caveats, have you looked at the recruiting rankings and seen who currently has the number 6 class in America? That would be Rutgers. Rutgers just picked up a top 100 player in Jacob Allen. He's a 4-star offensive lineman, and they were able to win a battle with some pretty high-level programs for him. And in doing so, they now find themselves as the number 6 program in the country, according to Rivals recruiting ratings. there are some programs that are where you would expect them to be, and there's some that are not, and that by the end of the year, again, the recruiting rankings will change. Alabama last year, some people were saying, oh, I don't know about Alabama's recruiting. Alabama did just fine in recruiting. But Greg Schiano is showing again. Schiano might not be a great head coach, and I'm a Tampa Bay Bucs fan, so I can tell you in the NFL, he was definitely not a great head coach. College, he did a nice job with Rutgers getting to a certain level. He never got them above it. Then he left and went to the pros, and so we'll see what he is as a head coach this time around. He may not be a great head coach, but what Greg Schiano does know how to do is he knows how to recruit and he knows how to evaluate, and that is so important. It's not just about can you land a kid, it's can you land the right kid. Can you land a kid that you can find that fits your program that for whatever reason maybe somebody else doesn't think he fits their scheme as well or wants a different kind of lineman or whatever it might be, but you find a kid and you think he fits what you want to do and you sign him. That's important. Fit is just as important as star ratings. Well, think about Tennessee. Tennessee almost had Greg Schiano. And then their fans said no. It doesn't even matter if you want to get back into the argument about why the fans said no. But the fans said no. They were very clear. Greg Schiano was not worthy of being the head coach of Tennessee Volunteer football. And so the process went on, and it eventually landed on a guy in Jeremy Pruitt, who was an unproven commodity, but certainly felt like a more natural fit for the SEC than Greg Schiano did. But you know how it went with Pruitt. Pruitt was good enough to do some things well when it came to landing some players, but didn't recruit at quite as high a level as I think people imagined he would. And Pruitt, on top of that, led a staff that winds up with Tennessee doing an NCAA investigation that they're having to deal with right now. We don't know how long that's going to be, that it's going to affect the volunteer program. A lot of people would have turned out to be a better head coaching choice than specifically Jeremy Pruitt. But imagine if they had gotten Schiano. I don't know if Schiano would have gotten them back to Atlanta. I'm not sure he would have, frankly. But I do know this. Had Tennessee actually gone through with Schiano, even with the questions, I don't know if he'd still be the coach. Maybe 3 years in, they would have gotten tired of him, and maybe he wouldn't have won enough games. But he would absolutely have that program better stocked with talent than it is right now. They'd be more equipped for success. I think he'd still be there. More equipped for success with him or somebody else in the next few seasons than what it is 3.5 years later after the Vols said no. And I think there were some people in the Tennessee side who, especially after 2 years of Pruitt, got a little smug about this. Got a little convinced that, hey, you know what? How come nobody else has hired Greg Schiano, huh? If Schiano's so good, all you media people who thought that Schiano was good, ha, 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 how you like it now? Look at what the Vols did. Vols just knocked off Indiana in a bowl game. That's right, baby. Indiana, taste that. A year later, I don't think many people are coming back around to that line of thinking. But there at the end, they really thought, hey, we found the right guy. We nailed it. We got the process right. And to see now what's going on, to see what Schiano is doing with Rutgers in recruiting, they will be a bowl team within another year. That might be all they ever are again. I'm no Schiano worshiper. But he will at least have a program that without him has been an absolute toxic waste site. He will have them back at a bowl-level program. And for Tennessee, just being that, just being a consistent, reliable bowl team would be a good building block for where you want to go. And instead, you said, nah, that's not good enough. And now you find yourself two coaches removed and dealing with a guy in Josh Heupel that, frankly, a lot of people have questions about. Maybe he'll turn out to be the guy. But if you look at the history of that offense and what it did in the SEC the last time, it scorched teams that were not particularly good and didn't do much of anything against any teams that were. We'll see whether or not Tempo and Heupel can get it done. But I think you'd be a lot better off had you just stuck with the guy that your AD you ran out of there wanted to hire in the first place. We continue with CFB 365 coming up here on the Chuck Oliver Show.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.